Welcome back to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. This summer, it will be 23 years since Freeman A. Hrabowski III became president of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. A good key to what excites him about the job every day is the slender book he just published, part memoir, part policy prescription. It's titled Holding Fast to Dreams. And Freeman Hrabowski is with me in the studio. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Sheila, very much.
Your great-grandfather, Tom, was a slave, son of the plantation owner. Your grandfather was given the name Freeman because he was the first generation born after emancipation. By the time you were born in 1950, your parents both had graduated from college. They were educators, solidly middle class, quite a sweep.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to have great family background with parents who knew the importance of focusing on a child and giving me the best education they could.
Yeah, the education theme, I mean, the Birmingham, Alabama you were born in, very segregated, mm-hmm. sharply segregated.
Yes.
But you write that you were constantly given the message, you don't have time to be a victim, work hard and you can shape your future. Mm-hmm. And that sort of carries all the way through.
Well, it does. And I, as I talk to children from all kinds of backgrounds, I am well aware that many did not have the kind of blessed background I had. And so the message is somewhat different, though the theme is the same. The message is different in the sense that many have not had the family support necessarily that many of us have had who've been very successful. But the idea of empowering children to believe they can help shape what happens to them, even as we push our society and ourselves to do more to help families, those two ideas can come together. That it is important for children to feel they have some sense of self, first of all, and that they can make a difference in their own lives. But it's also important, I think very important, that we as middle class and as professional people understand there's a role for us to play in creating an environment that helps families to be strengthened so they can help with their children.
You write about a moment that was transformational. In that it told you that the future doesn't have to be what it is now.
Yes, yes.
And that was 1963. The
yes.
Southern Christian Leadership Conference was organizing sit-ins and boycotts
right.
and marches
right.
in Birmingham. And you write about your parents sort of dragging you to a mass meeting at church
right.
when you really wanted just to work on your math homework.
Exactly. And
the
experience
that.
Was transformational because I heard a man say that if we, the children, participated in that peaceful protest, that we would have the chance to go to better schools. We had some great teachers, but we didn't have the resources that we needed, and we were, quite frankly, tired of having books that were handed down after white kids had finished with them. And the message we had been given was that we were not as good as or as smart as other kids. And so when this guy stood in the pulpit and said, if you, the children, participate in this peaceful protest, all of America will understand that our children want a good education and they know the difference between right and wrong. It was the first time I'd heard someone saying that tomorrow could be better than today and that I could play a role in that difference, in making that difference.
And that guy in the pulpit
was Dr. Martin Luther King. Exactly.
So you went home.
Yes.
And told your parents you wanted to take part in the protest.
We went home and I said, I've got to go. I have to go. I have to protest. And they said, absolutely not.
And then they prayed all night.
And they prayed all night because I said they were hypocrites. They sent me to my room. But the next morning they came in and they said, it wasn't that we didn't trust you, but we knew that if we allowed you to go, you would go to jail at age 12. And we didn't trust the people in the jail. Even the people over the children, we didn't trust them to be as they should be to you. And so, but they had prayed over it, and they said, we'll put you in God's hands, and they allowed me to go. And I spent a week in jail. It was a terrible week in many ways. We were mistreated, but the important lesson was we felt empowered to be making a difference. And in the middle of the week, our parents came and were outside of the jailhouse, and if you can imagine all these children, and I was one of the older kids.
How many kids?
Well, hundreds and hundreds of kids. And the ones who were in high school went one place and the others the other, except I had skipped grades. So I was 12, but I was getting ready to go to the 10th grade. So I was very fortunate. So I was helping to take care of younger children in the place for the children. And kids were crying and our parents were outside the jail, and Dr. King said to the kids, what you do this day will have an impact on children who've not yet been born. And there was something profound about that statement that said to us, perhaps the world would be better.
That's Freeman Hrabowski, the third president of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, here on Maryland Morning 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about his new book, Holding Fast to Dreams. So did that stay with you? I mean, did that change the course of your life?
Yeah, it stayed with me all my life. The idea that we can help children to think critically and to understand that their academic performance will make such a difference in their futures, that if they can get a good education, if they can learn to read well and think well, that they can, quite frankly, get a good job and they can have a family and take care of that family and make sure that family is safe. Those are very old-fashioned ideas, but they still hold today in America.
So what have you been thinking these last few weeks with what we've been seeing in Baltimore?
Sure, I see the contrast between my lovely campus out in Catonsville and my students who are, and faculty who are so concerned about our city and who are coming in to help with the cleanup and who are working with mentees of theirs from the city. I see what we do for our kids in the Choice program, focused on little first-time offenders, kids and teenagers. And I listen to the voices of some of those children and to the staff who work with them. And what I know is this, the more time and effort we give to those children, and the more we have opportunities to help those children work with adults, the more trust we can have with families, the more support we can give, and the greater the probability the child can do well in school. And at the same time, the more we can teach the child that and people that they have the right to say what they believe. And when they see something that doesn't seem right in America, we have the right to have peaceful protest. The important word here is peaceful protest. And that was my thought throughout this week, that we want to continue to focus on the significance of civil disobedience and the importance of safety of people, of peaceful protest. That's the point. And the thought I kept having was how resilient Baltimore is with our mayor, elected officials, and all the leaders, and with the children and families, that what people didn't see on TV that they should have seen, all the people in the city and from around the city who came in to be supportive of children and families during this period, I was amazed at the way we came together as a community. But that was not breaking news, you see. There's the point. The breaking news for me was how people came together to say, we are Baltimore. From people out on my campus at UMBC to around to the colleges and universities to the schools, people wanted to make a difference. People wanted to make sure others are treated fairly. People wanted to make sure people are safe. People believed in our city, and they do today. And the business community, the community development people, are all saying the same thing, that we are inextricably tied together. That's the same thing that comes through in my book, that somehow these things come together. Whether we're talking about academic performance in college or creating leaders, whether they're in science or in the arts, that there are ways in which the arts community, the science community, social workers, teachers, and all of us need to be thinking about what we do to help families and children.
The book is as much about UMBC and particularly the Meyerhoff Scholars Program as it is about your own history. And you make the point several times that UMBC started just about the same time you were part of the Children's Crusade in Birmingham in the 60s.
Yes.
It was never segregated, so it was never desegregated.
Right.
Why is that important?
Right. Because every other university in our state started either for blacks or whites. Race still does matter. There are issues we need to talk about. What's significant about UMBC is that the first students came in 1966. The charter was in 63, the same year that I went to jail, quite frankly. And from the beginning, students from both races at that time, black and white, could go there, and they did. And today we have students from 150 countries. So we have every possible racial and ethnic group you can think of. And it's not enough that those students are in the same space. What is important is that we're teaching students, our faculty and staff are working to teach students how to connect meaningfully as human beings and to get beyond their comfort zones. You see, it's possible to be in the same space and never get to know anybody different from yourself. And one of the points that we need to be making all the time in America is that we need to know more about each other as human beings and to understand the challenges that different people go through. Whether it's a black child in Baltimore or a poor white child in Baltimore County, wherever we are, we need to understand the challenges, but also the strengths of those children, the strengths of those families, and ways we can support them. What we do at UMBC, whether talking about what we got through Mr. Maher's work with our Maher program for producing scientists, or what we get through our artist programs, humanities programs, is the notion of pulling people together from different backgrounds and helping them prepare to become leaders who will help people other than themselves. There is the message that the whole purpose of college is to teach people how to be good citizens, how to be broad thinkers, not just through science, but quite frankly, through the humanities and social sciences. These are the disciplines through which people learn how to ask the hard questions and how to be honest with self in thinking through what we can do as a society to help people who don't have the advantages that we have. And I think what this period has done for all of us, what it should have done, is to say this is not simply about Baltimore or the urban environment. This is about America and about America's values, just as the Children's March in Birmingham wasn't simply about Birmingham. It was about the values in our country. And during that period, we ended up having legislation and policy changes that led to more people going to college, to people, women and minorities, being able to vote, to more people having jobs of different types than they ever had before. So I would like us to think about the past 50 years as an experiment that brought many more people into mainstream America of all races, men and women, particularly more women and people of color and people from low-income backgrounds of all races. The point is we have a lot more work to do. That's what this last 2 weeks would have said to everybody. We can use the inspiration from the last 50 years to envision the possibilities for the next 50 years.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Freeman Hrabowski, the president of the University of Maryland Baltimore County, his new book is Holding Fast to Dreams. We've got more information on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this interview there, too. And there's more ahead on Maryland Morning. Stay with us on 88.1.